Galatians chapter 6, verse 11 to 18. See what large letters I use when I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What courts in the new creation, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen.
Thanks very much, Ryan. Just let me repeat the welcome. It's great to be here this morning. If you're new or visiting, you're really welcome. We're a group of people. We're not anything special. We don't have a full-time employed pastor, but we just meet together on a Sunday morning, and we believe that when we open up the Word of God, He speaks. And that's our hope in meeting together like this, in listening to the Bible read and preached, is that God would speak into our lives. And that's our hope. So with that in mind, we're finishing our series in Galatians this morning. We started this back in September, and we've slowly worked through the whole letter from the Apostle Paul to a church he planted in the province of Galatia. So I just want to start this morning by asking what gives your life meaning? Perhaps it's the thing that takes up most of your time, being a parent perhaps, or your work, your livelihood. What gives your life meaning? Perhaps it's the thing you're always trying to make time for, but don't have time. Sport, leisure, music. These things give our life meaning. Perhaps your deepest meaning comes from who you are, your social life, how people appreciate you. There are many good things we can fill our life with, but in the end, do they bring lasting meaning and worth? There is one thing that you can do with your life that will last, that will have lasting meaning. And that's our subject this morning. This morning we've come to the end of the letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Galatia. Paul, who would have been dictating to a scribe, takes over the writing in verse 11. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. He is saying, just in case you missed the point of this letter, I'm going to give it to you again in big, bold block capitals right here on the page, in case you missed it. Paul was astonished in chapter 1 about the state of their Christian life. They were following a false gospel. The Lord Jesus had died on the cross to rescue them from their guilt and their sins. He had offered them grace, undeserved mercy. All that they needed, God had provided. But this was apparently not enough. They were being taught that they needed to contribute more to their own righteousness. In order to follow God's holy law, they must make themselves holy. The rituals involved were all outward. The mark of circumcision, religiously observing holy days, depending on what they do for acceptance and status within the church and towards God. Paul calls them fools, bewitched. He's perplexed by their behavior. He's afraid that he's wasted his time on them. This false teaching was weighing these Christians down. Trying to justify themselves by what they do was going to cut them off from Christ. They were falling away from grace. Paul exposes the motives behind those trying to justify themselves. Look at verse 12. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. And verse 13 says, they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision. What was their motive? To impress people. It was all based on recognition of people's efforts and achievements, patting each other on the back for how good they had been. But Paul points out that putting your hope in some outward show of Christianity is hypocrisy. Verse 12 says that not even those who are circumcised keep the law. You might be living a good life by outward appearance, keeping aspects of God's commands, but it will never make you righteous. But surely there's no harm in doing good, in living a good life. Trying to follow God's commands surely counts for something. Well, this is the whole point of this letter. This is the block caps, bold and underlined italics message of this text. What you do outwardly does not make you righteous. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. This is repeated from chapter 5. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. And this is the warning in this text for you. What you do justifies you or even contributes to your righteousness. This text says that you are avoiding something. You're avoiding something. What are you avoiding? Verse 12 says, the only reason the false teachers in Galatia were compelling Christians to be crucified is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. When the Galatian Christians took on the outward observance of the law, circumcision, they were avoiding the cross. Is your identity, your self-worth, based on your role, your service to God, and the acceptance and value you feel for this? If that is you, you are avoiding the need for the cross. The Galatians boasted in their own identity. They valued a good outward impression, observing God's laws. But in boasting in their efforts, they rejected the need for a crucified Saviour. The cross is offensive. It confronts me with my shortcomings. If my Creator God had to step in and be brutally sacrificed for my sin, well, that means my efforts towards keeping the law, towards righteousness, well, they are not enough. But in stark contrast to the Galatians' boasting, Paul speaks to himself in verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul does not avoid the offense of the cross. He revels in it. Although he wants to do good, he recognizes his sinful incapacity to do it. Evil is in his heart and he's corrupted by it. I'm a wretched man, he says in Romans 7. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. His only boast is in the God who saved him. He places no confidence in his own contribution to righteousness or salvation. So we have those who boast in outward appearance, and those who boast in nothing but the cross. Like oil and water, these two ways of life cannot mix. One way of life is like oil. It says, I was hopelessly corrupted in my attempts to be righteous. No matter how hard I tried, I was getting nowhere. But Christ stepped in as my substitute and took the judgment for my guilt on the cross. The other way of life is like water. It says, yes, Jesus died to take away sins, but I'm not entirely evil and in need of forgiveness. I am getting there. I'm making progress on my own. No matter how much you try to mix these two in your life, while you hold on to hope of reaching God by yourself, the cross has no value to you. It is like oil and water. They do not mix. You cannot depend on a combination of Christ's death and your own efforts for salvation. There's another image that Jesus used when he came to Jerusalem to be crucified. He said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And then he said this, "Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." A single grain of wheat is nice, but it's not going to give you much food. You wouldn't get much flour if you milled one grain. You get a bit, but it wouldn't make a slice of toast. A single grain on its own doesn't have any lasting meaning or value. But when a seed falls into the ground and dies, a whole plant is created, capable of producing many more seeds year after year. The value in a single seed starts only when it dies. Only then does it become a plant. And as a plant, it will live on far longer than it would if it was milled and made into a tiny snack. If there's one thing you remember from the book of Galatians, let it be this: unless you die, you cannot live. Unless you die, you cannot live. Verse 14 says, "May I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." When I come to the cross, my identity was corrupted by sin and guilt. Sure, I am made in God's image and I may be capable of doing some good, but I am a wretched mess of inconsistency and hypocrisy. I'm not capable of righteous living. The cross is not a refinement process. It doesn't knock off the rough edges and slowly make you a better person. The cross is an execution. It involves dying, nothing less. You cannot come to the cross and remain partially alive, killing only the worst bits. Paul explains that through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, two things have happened. One, the world has been crucified to me. Any claim this natural world had on me has been put to death. There is nothing in the world that remains alive, attractive, or appealing as the source of salvation for me. And number two, I have been crucified to the world. My status in this world no longer exists. My old self, my identity, my will has been put to death. That old wretched person who aspired to righteousness yet was corrupted by his will in sin and incapable of reaching God, he is dead and gone. Come to the cross for forgiveness, to be set free from slavery to sin and death. But when you do, know that like a grain of wheat, new life comes at a cost. Unless you die, you cannot live. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, "The cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise godly, fearing, and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a man or a woman, he bids him come and die." Jesus called the rich young man to give up his wealth and follow him. The man went away sad and conflicted in his will because he was wealthy. And Bonhoeffer continues, only the man or woman who is dead to his own will can follow Christ. But the problem is, we do not want to die. We don't want to die. We love our lives. We do not want to give it up. The cost of following Christ is your crucifixion, your death, your complete surrender to any claim or right of your own life. Is it too much to ask? Do you love your life? Are you suppressing the guilt in your conscience? Are you busying yourself with maintaining the outward aspects of Christianity, keeping God's commandments, living rightly? Are you banking on the chance that the good in your life will somehow outweigh the bad and that will count for something? If you love your life, if you will not lay down every aspect of it, even surrendering your will, if this is you today, I tell you that the cross of Christ doesn't mean anything to you. You're avoiding it. If you love your life enough to stop short of dying, you stop short of the cross, and it will cost you your eternal destiny. You are like a single grain of wheat. You might have some passing worth or meaning, but you will never receive eternal life in Christ Jesus. So come to the cross, where someone else has paid the penalty for the guilt that you feel. Have faith in that person to be your substitute, to exchange his life for your own. Surrender your life. More than surrender, execute it. Kill it on the cross. Do not put any weight of faith in yourself. Stake everything on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have put your faith in Christ, the reality is that you are a new creation in Christ. That is the only lasting meaning and value of your life. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I now no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Through the cross, the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Okay, but what does this look like? What are some practical examples of what this actually looks like? If I no longer live, I've surrendered my will and I'm at the disposal of my Saviour God in every aspect of my life. But as we know, this is a constant battle, and I need to be reminded of this. My right to be respected and valued for what I do is surrendered to him. My need to be affirmed by people around me, I have to crucify. My right to decide how I spend my time, all of my time, even the weekends, it belongs to Christ. What I watch for entertainment, this is subject to Christ's life in me. How I spend my hard-earned money, he has a rightful claim to every cent. My whole life belongs to Christ. The way I speak or even think about other people, even if they have wronged me, it must change. If I am slighted, mistreated, it is not my identity that is undermined. Christ is my judge, and it is his new creation life in me that matters. My rights, my personal ambitions and self-worth are dead, as is my identity. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If you are seriously counting the cost of following Jesus this morning, and all this seems too much to ask, know that God is no man's debtor. That he will repay 100 times whatever you give him to follow. You, whatever you give up to follow him. Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jim Elliot rightly said, "He's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." I'll ask the musicians to come back up while we sing, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss." And we'll try and sing the, or it's actually, sorry, no, it's not musicians. We're going to play it, we're going to play the song because it has, the chorus has some important words, sorry about that. The chorus has some words that I wanted us to focus on. The cross of Christ bids us come and die. So if you know the words, then please sing along and we'll play it out, sorry about that. Thank you.